Jesus is risen. And may the presence and the power of the risen Christ be with you now and always. Amen. The hour has come. It seems kind of like an odd sentence, especially as the first sentence that we hear in Jesus' high priestly prayer in today's gospel. But is it really that odd? This year in the lectionary, year A, we've been reading from Matthew with then stories from the Gospel of John. And as we've been hearing some of those stories from the Gospel of John, you may remember that way back when we were reading out of John 2, it was the story of Jesus changing water into wine. Jesus reminded his mother way at the beginning of his ministry, "My hour has not yet come." And then we've been listening to more stories from Matthew and then from John as we've heard those other stories, as we've watched the signs, as we've listened to the teachings and the discourses. There's been no other mention of that hour. Not yet. But today we hear it. Now is the moment. Here at the end of Jesus' last evening with his disciples, the hour has come. But what hour are we talking about? We've been waiting to hear about it since Cana in Galilee, but do we know for what it is that we have been waiting? The hour has come for glory. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you is how Jesus puts it in this high priestly prayer. Now you may be sitting there thinking, well, it's about time. And I know that some of the disciples were thinking exactly that. As Jesus was praying, glory. Jesus is finally going to get his place, finally going to get the respect that he deserves and the obedience that he could demand. When we think of glory, we think of parades and awards and fanfares and fetes and acceptance speeches. Jesus was talking about the cross. Because it is there on the cross that Jesus is glorified and that God is glorified through him. But how is that possible? How could it be that that is where the glory comes from? Because it is there on the cross that the depth and the breadth of God's love for us is shown. It is there on the cross that the patience and the tolerance of God is shown. It is there on the cross that we see that God and Jesus have the same goals, the same strength, the same love and care for us, sinners though we are. The hour has come for us to know that Jesus is now and will always be the perfect example of God and God's actions in the world. When we see Jesus, when we watch Jesus, when we love Jesus, we see and watch and love God in all of God's glory. The hour has come. And through that glory, the hour has come for us to connect with eternal life. Now, oftentimes we think that eternal life is exclusively about living in heaven with God, and it can mean that. It's just not exclusively that. Through our connection with Jesus as Emmanuel, as God with us, we are connected to eternal life. And Jesus goes on to describe that eternal life in his prayer when he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Through Jesus, we are connected to the eternal one. Our relationship with God is repaired by God in love, and we have hope. That is what Jesus is praying for us, that our relationship with God would become our source of hope, and the hour has come. And finally, in this prayer, Jesus knows that the hour has come for us to hear of, to accept, and to pick up our oneness. That they may be one as we are one, Jesus prays. Now, since Jesus is the living representation of God and God's love completely and fully, they share a oneness of love and purpose, a oneness of patience and hope, a oneness of service, care, connection, and relationships. And that is what we have been given as well. Jesus is not praying about uniformity for all of his followers. He's not praying for a sameness for God's children, but a oneness. We are one in the love of God. We are one in the love of Jesus at the font and at the table. We are one in the love of God as we are shown it on the cross and in creation. We are one in the love of God as we are redeemed from our sin and have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us every day. We are one in purpose. And that purpose is to share the love of God. So freely given to us, we share that love with the people in the world around us who need that love so dearly. We are one in a pledge to serve and care for, to connect with and be in relationship with fellow believers and followers of Jesus or those who have never yet heard his name. We are one, and the hour has come. But what has the hour come for? For what? Or my favorite theological question, so what? Jesus is telling us that the hour has come, and we're not certain yet what it's still come for. But the hour has come for us. Now, all of the wonderful things that Jesus had been praying for in this prayer are ours, but this is also about how we can fulfill the mission that we received in the story in Acts. We received this last Thursday on Ascension Day. You see, in that story, the disciples still don't understand. They're asking when the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel, and Jesus tells them, wait. He reminds them that the Holy Spirit is coming to them. But then Jesus gives those disciples, then Jesus gives to all of us our mission. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and out to the ends of the earth. Now the geography may not be the same for us, but the intention of Jesus is clear. We get to bring the glory of God's love in Jesus in close where we are every day, like Jerusalem, out into the places we go, even those that make us kind of nervous, like Judea and Samaria, and then out to the ends of the earth. The hour has come to blend it all together. The hour has come for us to be witnesses. Now, a witness, especially in court, tells their story. We're not called on to make up extra stuff. We are called to be witness to God's love in Jesus in our own lives. And we have much to witness to, from baptism to the table, from conversations we've had with Sunday school teachers and with grandparents, or even with those who are sitting close to us here in worship now. Maybe your witness includes years worth of stories, and maybe your witness is a lot more rocky and recent and filled with holes. Jesus calls us to be witnesses, no more and no less. And so the hour has come for us to start close and go as wide as we are able. Some people are called and equipped to be witnesses to those across the country or across the world. Others of us are good with those across the table or across the office. Jesus calls us to be witnesses and includes all of that space because Jesus knows that there are people close by who need God's love, just as there are people across the globe who need God's love. We are called to share that love and bring God's glory to those we can. You see, the hour has come for us to realize that we get to be part of God's amazing story of salvation, and we get to be workers with Christ to make God's love real and true for people around us. The hour has come The hour has come for us to be witnesses. The hour has come for us to live kindness. The hour has come for us to share God's love with all around us. The hour has come for us to bring God's glory to light in the world. So as we go from this place, may we see God's vision for love and service, for kindness and peace, and may that vision become our mission. May we glorify God in our words and our actions, in our being and in our doing, in our caring, our sharing, our helping, and our living. The hour has come for us to share the amazing truth that Jesus is risen.